is Bernstein 23-12630. Appearances, please. Mr. Schraberg?
Good morning, Your Honor. Brad Schraberg, S-H-R-A-I-B-E-R-G. On behalf of Joanna Somm, as personal representative of the estate of Walter Somm and Patricia Somm, I am joined today with Ms. Joanna Somm, who is the personal representative and holds the power of attorney for Ms. Patricia Somm.
All right, thank you. I see two Elliot Bernstein
here in speaking.
Hold on one second. See two folks that are named in their Zoom name as Elliot Bernstein. One is a male, one is a female. So I'm going to assume the male is Elliot Bernstein.
Yes.
Mr. Bernstein, can you make your appearance, please?
Yes, sir. Hi, Your Honor. Elliot Bernstein, representing Elliot Bernstein.
Okay, great. If you could just spell your last name for the record, please.
B-E-R-N-S-T-E-I-N.
And will the other person tell me their name and I can rename you on Zoom? No problem. Oh, there we go. Ms. Garcia, go ahead and make your appearance.
Good morning, Your Honor. Inger Garcia. I'm here observing because I'm Mr. Bernstein's attorney in the state court matter, the underlying matter.
Oh, I see. Okay, thank you.
I'm here to give testimony.
I'm sorry?
I apologize. I'm here if you need testimony, sir, or to support.
Oh, I see. Okay, thank you. Any other appearances in this case?
Matt Girardi on behalf of the Chapter 13 trustee, likewise, just monitoring the case. No schedules filed. They're due later this or early next week. Unusual set of facts. Okay. So want to see how this shakes out.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Girardi. All right. So, Mr. Schraberg, you have two matters set for hearing. One is an expedited motion for relief from stay, docket entry 9. And then there's the motion, hold on a second, docket entry 15, motion for relief from stay in rem. I will tell you that when I first received the expedited motion for relief from stay, I know that it was filed literally on the day you wanted a hearing. I was not able to set it for that date, and nor did I think that it was appropriate to do so, which is why I set it for today. And when you filed the in rem motion, I just thought it was related enough to number 9 to set it at the same time. So that's how we got here today. I will also tell you that I am aware, Mr. Bernstein, of the filing that you filed. I've read the whole thing, as well as the exhibits. We certainly can consider that, unless Mr. Schraberg, you feel there's some prejudice in considering that response today. I don't see any, but I'm open to that notion if you think there is some. What I would do at this point is, Mr. Schraberg, I'll just hear from you, and you can tell me how you wish to proceed, and we'll consider that.
Thank you, Your Honor. I did see the response from Mr. Bernstein come in this morning, though I have not read the whole thing. I have done my best to skim through it in preparation for today, to the best that I could. But I think it may make sense to go forward with docket entry 15, the motion for in rem stay relief, because the emergency with regard to docket entry 9 no longer exists. The sale was canceled, Your Honor was correct. It was just an attempt to keep to preserve that sale date.
I'll tell you, I had prepared for the hearing, reviewing the motion, I had prepared to see if I could set the hearing. And in reviewing the motion and in reviewing the suggestion of bankruptcy, I understood at the time and still understand and want to hear about this, that the property is not owned by Mr. Bernstein, and that there is record determinations by judges as well as admissions by Mr. Bernstein that he does not personally own the property. And therefore, my initial reaction was that the stay did not apply. I also read the suggestion of bankruptcy, which, in my view, in reading it, and I'm open to why I may be wrong, but that it was just a misstatement, a clear misstatement of the effect of Mr. Bernstein's bankruptcy on the foreclosure sale and foreclosure case. And that was very, very clear to me, although I'm happy to listen to why it might not be. And I was hoping, frankly, that the state court clerk and the state court would understand that and, you know, this would be a nullity, but apparently that did not happen. Is that right? And the sale was canceled. Okay, all right, so go ahead and proceed on docket entry 15 and we'll see what happens from there.
Thank you, Your Honor. The Bernstein Family Realty LLC is the title holder and owner of the real property located at 2753 Northwest 34th Street in Boca Raton. And just to simplify, I'll call that the Boca property or the Boca residence.
And have there been judicial determinations of that fact?
I'm sorry? Yes.
Have there been judicial determinations of that fact?
Absolutely. And we provided an Exhibit A, Bernstein Family Realty LLC filed an involuntary bankruptcy case against itself in front of Judge Kimball, where they made the representation that they were the title owner holder. And there were, I believe, findings of fact that I'll go through from Judge Kimball that it is the title owner. In addition, my client holds a judgment, a non-appealable final judgment of foreclosure against Bernstein Family Realty LLC, and that is the vehicle that was set for judicial sale now twice, and both times have been done.
So just for my own clarity, that judgment is held against the entity you just mentioned with respect to foreclosure on the property that is at issue.
Correct? That is correct, Your Honor, and it is against Bernstein Family Realty LLC.
And what's that property? If you could define that for me, by address or otherwise.
It is the address 2753 Northwest 34th Street in Boca Raton, Florida. It is a residential house.
All right, and how are you going to make these pleadings or seek to make these pleadings of record? Meaning,
yes, Your Honor, at the end of my presentation, I will ask for you to take judicial notice of the various exhibits that were attached to docket entry 15, and they consist of orders from the involuntary case. Okay. If we want to go through that too, which may make it easier.
No, go ahead and do it as you proceed as you intended, and then we'll deal with it as we go.
Okay. Now that I'm thinking about it, it may make sense to go through the exhibits, I guess, and then I'll backtrack into the presentation, if I may. Exhibit A to the motion is the order dismissing the Bernstein Family Realty LLC case with prejudice.
Okay, hold on 1 second while I pull up the exhibits. Just give me 1 second. All right, I'm now looking at docket entry 15. And Exhibit A is the order dismissing case with prejudice, and that relates to the Bernstein Family Realty LLC involuntary case that Judge Kimball dismissed with prejudice and mentions that the debtor, meaning Bernstein Family Realty LLC, owns one real asset, the single family home located at 2753 Northwest 34th Street, Boca Raton, Florida, 33434. So that's the finding, one of the findings that you're relying upon for your motion.
Yes, Your Honor. And just to continue to clarify the record, that's on page 2 of 3 of Exhibit A.
Yeah, that's where I read it. Okay, go ahead.
Exhibit B is in the same Bernstein Family Realty case, docket entry 100 from it, the order denying petitioner's motion to vacate sanctions order and all orders, decisions, and judgments of Judge Kimball and other relief. This was the finding of bad faith that the involuntary was improper and was filed in bad faith. And ultimately,
bad faith for the purpose of staying the foreclosure sale?
Correct, Your Honor. Specifically,
where does it say that?
Page 2 of 4. In the middle of the first paragraph, a sentence starting, in short, the movants, who do not appear to be actual creditors of the debtor, but merely indirect equity owners, filed an improper involuntary petition against their own entity, primarily to prevent a foreclosure, and then caused the debtor to do almost nothing required of a debtor in bankruptcy. After finding that this bankruptcy case was filed in bad faith, the court dismissed this case with 2 years prejudice, but reserved jurisdiction to rule on a request for sanctions against the movants and their parents, Elliot and Candace Bernstein. And Elliot Bernstein is the debtor in the instant case.
All right, and that 2 year prejudice period was simply with respect to Bernstein Family Realty LLC and was not an in rem stay relief determination, correct?
Correct, Your Honor.
Okay.
And Exhibit C. And just to clarify, the petitioning creditors of the involuntary were Mr. Bernstein's 3 children, who were the beneficial owner, the members of the Bernstein Family Realty LLC.
I understood, I thought, that they were actually beneficiaries, each of a separate trust, and that the 3 trusts were the members of the Bernstein Family Realty LLC.
That's accurate, and I apologize, I just misspoke. That is correct. So they're the ultimate beneficiaries. They are the beneficiaries of the members of the involuntary debt.
Okay.
Exhibit C is the order granting motion for sanctions in the Bernstein Family Realty LLC matter. That is docket entry 97 in that case. On page 2 of 2, my clients were awarded sanctions against the movant in the amount of $43,878.30. And various documents, if you can see it, paragraph 4, were stricken from the record. And that is because there were numerous motions or responses filed by this debtor, Mr. Elliot Bernstein, that had what I will classify as frivolous disseminating comments about me, Judge Kimball, Heidi Fineman, and almost any.
I mean, I think Judge Kimball refers to them as unsupported and scandalous and or defamatory allegations.
That's correct, Your Honor. And for that reason, they were stricken from the record.
Okay. But not particularly relevant here, except to provide background from your perspective on bad faith, I suppose.
Correct. And to be blunt, in anticipation that something would be filed in this case, similar to what was filed late last night, that now accuses me of fraud throughout. And I see Mr. Sweetapple referenced, my client representative referenced, and so on.
But nothing for me to adjudicate at this moment.
Correct.
Yeah. All right, go ahead.
Then Exhibit D is the suggestion of bankruptcy that you had referenced earlier, and specifically paragraph 3 of the suggestion of bankruptcy filed by Ms. Garcia, that says this action is founded on a claim from which a discharge would be a release of that seeks to impose a charge on the property of the estate. Okay. And I'd like to point out that on the signature page, and what is page 20 of 20 of documentary 15, but page 2 of Exhibit D, you'll see Ms. Garcia's signature and specifically noting that she is counsel for the defendants in the lawsuit, which is the Bernstein Family Realty LLC, which you see the BFR, as well as Mr. Elliot Bernstein. And Ms. Garcia is here today. She has received notice of today's hearing.
Okay.
Those will be the exhibits that we will be referencing in support of our motion.
And you wish for me to take judicial notice of these as pleadings filed in the dockets of their respective cases, as well as orders having been entered by Judge Kimball?
Yes, please. All right. At this time, we so move.
Does anyone object to the court taking judicial notice of these documents?
Okay. Yes, I do.
What's the basis of your objection?
Mr. Schraberg has claimed that he's operating under a power of attorney for Joanna Somm. And as you can see, that's been revoked. And he's
Where do I see that?
It's in the filing I filed this morning as an exhibit.
All right, so hold on a second. So we're other than standing, which I will get into in a moment when you make your objection, do you have any other objection to the court taking judicial notice of these documents? And I'll reserve on standing. I get your point and we'll cover that.
Okay.
But I want to understand if there are any other objections.
Okay, thank you.
So there are no other objections to the court taking judicial notice other than Mr. Schraberg's representation of the creditor and standing?
Correct.
Okay. All right. So putting aside the standing issue or conditioned upon the court's ruling on the standing and the issues raised in the objection, the court will otherwise take judicial notice of these pleadings for purposes of this motion.
And I'd also like you to note that he filed on behalf of Patricia Somm Sr. individually, nothing is signed through a power of attorney of any person.
Okay. And you can, and again, you're allowing you to reserve on those issues. I'm not determining those issues yet, but I will.
Thank you.
And once we get to your turn in this process, okay?
Thank you.
Okay, no worries. All right, Mr. Schraberg.
Thank you, Your Honor. So backtracking to the facts of this matter, the Bernstein Family Realty LLC is the title holder of the Boca property, and Mr. Elliot Bernstein is this debtor. The secured creditors, my clients, are the holders of a final judgment of foreclosure. We are a creditor in this estate, period, but we even have a final non-appealable judgment of foreclosure in the amount of $353,574.68 against Bernstein Family Realty LLC. The foreclosure judgment was entered in Palm Beach County State Court in a case number 2018-CA-002317.
Where is that judgment?
I don't have it copied. Like, if we need to, I can have my client testify that she, who is here today, who has that we did in fact receive it.
Is that a fact found by Judge Kimball?
And I believe it is, and I will find that for you. If it's okay, I'll continue and I'll come back to that as I'm about to have another lawyer take a look at that right now while I'm making my presentation where that can be found in the exhibits that we believe are already entered.
Okay.
Pursuant to the foreclosure judgment of foreclosure.
There is a paragraph 2 of your motion for stay relief mentions it. but I don't know.
I looked at while Mr. Bernstein was speaking in anticipation of this issue, and I did not see it attached to the motion.
All right, okay, so go ahead. Remember to come back to that.
Will do. The initial foreclosure sale was set for April 20th, 2022. On April 19th, 2022, the eve of the April 20th foreclosure sale of the real property, Joshua Bernstein, Jacob Bernstein, and Daniel Bernstein, which are Mr. Elliot Bernstein's children, with the encouragement of the debtor, initiated an involuntary bankruptcy case against Bernstein Family Realty, LLC, in the United States Bankruptcy Court, which is the subject of many of the exhibits that the court has now taken judicial notice of. The three petitioning creditors are indirect equity owners of Bernstein Family Realty, and in essence, they filed the involuntary petition against their own company, which lacked a manager, and that can be found at page 2 of Exhibit B. The filing of the previous bankruptcy case served its intended purpose and caused the April 20th foreclosure sale of the real property to be canceled. That too can be found in Exhibit A at page 2. After finding that the previous bankruptcy case was filed improperly and in bad faith for the sole purpose of preventing the foreclosure sale through utilization of the Section 362 automatic stay, the bankruptcy court dismissed the previous bankruptcy case for 2 years prejudice. That's found in Exhibit A as well and Exhibit B. The bankruptcy court subsequently issued monetary sanctions against the three petitioning creditors and that improperly initiated the previous bankruptcy case and struck the unsupported, scandalous, and defamatory filings of the debtor from the record in the previous case. That's found in Exhibit C. The foreclosure sale of the real property in the state court case was subsequently rescheduled for April 4th, 2023. And I'd like to point out that the Bernstein's scheme worked. The original foreclosure sale was set for April 20th, 2022. And this new foreclosure sale was set for April 4th, 2023. All along, they get to live in the premises for just another year without paying rent, without paying any payments to the secured creditor, my client. On April 3rd, 2023, this Chapter 13 petition was filed. Immediately thereafter, the debtor filed a suggestion of bankruptcy in a state court case wherein the debtor, even though he is not the owner of the real property, falsely stated that the real property is property of the Chapter 13 estate and falsely implied that his Chapter 13 bankruptcy case would somehow result in a discharge of the foreclosure judgment or otherwise release the real property from the foreclosure judgment, and that's in Exhibit D. After the debtor's filing of the suggestion of bankruptcy, the state court clerk canceled the April 4th foreclosure sale of the real property. Based on the foregoing, the debtor's instant bankruptcy case was initiated by the debtor as part of a continuing tag team scheme to delay and hinder the secured creditors involving multiple bankruptcy filings affecting this real property. Accordingly, we believe that cause exists pursuant to 11 U.S.C. 362 D4B for this court to enter an order terminating the automatic stay prospectively with respect to any act against the real property. Otherwise, the secured creditor will continue for a third time and so on to frustrate the legitimate efforts of the secured creditor to foreclose on the real property. Additionally, given the foregoing facts, we believe cause exists for the court to grant the instant motion and to be effective without a 14-day stay, without further delay, and that can be found in Federal Rule of Bankruptcy Procedure 4001A3. with regard to the last piece of evidence, it is found in Exhibit A, page 2. The final paragraph says, dissatisfied with rulings by the state court in a foreclosure case resulting in a judgment and the scheduling of a foreclosure sale, the petitioning Bernsteins, supported by Elliot I, Candace B, filed this case as a litigation tactic for the sole purpose of getting the effect of the Section 362 automatic stay in order to stymie a foreclosure sale of the real property. And I'd like to emphasize that it is a finding of fact that this debtor, Elliot I. Bernstein, supported the petitioning creditors in the last bankruptcy. And this is part of the, this is the evidence being relied upon showing the scheme, and that we believe that.
Where's the, I have two questions. One is, sure, the suggestion of bankruptcy that is Exhibit D is in the case in which the foreclosure judgment was filed, and specifically references the foreclosure sale set for April 4th of the subject property, correct?
Yes, Your Honor. Yes, Your Honor.
Okay, so there's no, it's not disputable that a judgment, foreclosure judgment exists and that the sale was set on April 4th, 2023, correct?
Correct, Your Honor.
Okay, and second, where is there a finding that Mr. Elliot Bernstein, as you say, supported the filing of the LLC case in any of the orders in which I'm taking judicial notice?
Yes, Your Honor. In Exhibit A at page 2, there is the paragraph, the final paragraph begins, dissatisfied with rulings by the state court in a foreclosure case resulting in a judgment and the scheduling of a foreclosure sale, the petitioning Bernsteins, supported by Elliot I. Bernstein and Candace Bernstein, who is Mr. Bernstein's wife, filed this case as a litigation tactic for the sole purpose of getting the effect of the Section 362 automatic stay in order to stymie a foreclosure sale of the real property.
All right, thank you. Anything further? You said you might be calling your client as a witness or not?
I don't think it's necessary. I think we've now produced everything that we've produced irrefutable evidence in support of the allegations within my presentation.
All right, thank you. So, I think it's Mr. Bernstein then.
I apologize, Your Honor. If I may, I would like to, if Mr. Bernstein is here, call him to ask two questions.
He is here, and you may call him. Ms. Weldon, will you please swear or have Mr. Bernstein swear or affirm the oath? Ms. Weldon? Oh, she needs a second.
Can I object to this? Because this isn't an evidentiary hearing, and I'd like to have that where I would testify to anything. I'm also getting counsel, so.
You can object, and I understand you, it's just so you're aware, the local rules provide, in my proceeding, my guidelines provide that any hearing can be deemed an evidentiary hearing at the option of the judge. And I'm deeming this as an evidentiary hearing given the exigent nature of it. So your objection is overruled.
Well, and it's also well beyond the 10 minutes of the notice that I was given, and I'm seriously late to a doctor appointment and stuff, so I'm hanging here,
I understand. Again, that objection is overruled.
Okay.
Ms. Weldon, how you doing?
I think she's on mute.
No, she's, we're, we have ways of communicating.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Cancel or talk, see if we can do it at the end of the day.
Mr. Bernstein, please raise your right hand. Do you solemnly swear or affirm to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth under penalty of perjury?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay. All right, Mr. Schreiber.
Thank you, Your Honor. Please state your name.
Elliot Ivan Bernstein.
And where do you currently work?
I work from my home.
What do you do for a living?
I'm an inventor.
What was your income last month from inventing?
Zero.
What was your income the month before?
It's been zero for about 22 years due to a fraud you committed upon my companies in this bankruptcy court. So that's where it's at, and I've been fighting for my life ever since Bombs in the Car, as you know. Because I've sued you numerous times in numerous courts and filed multiple criminal, state, and federal complaints against you, which are still ongoing.
Do you anticipate having any income this month?
I don't know.
What would you possibly have income from this month?
Inventions, royalties, and an inheritance, which is also being stymied by lawyers you're familiar with, where we're in deep 10-year litigation over the entire inheritance that I'm deserved from my father and mother.
And you believe that you're going to get some type of a ruling within a month or 2 months with regard to this litigation?
The snowball is starting now. So yeah, I don't know exactly when, but I'm looking at damages from your firm and the other firms who are committing these frauds here before this court right now. So hopefully this judge will grant us the damages to resurrect what you've already filed here today.
Mr. Schreiber, if you're trying to ask questions with respect to the debtor's ability to confirm a Chapter 13 plan and pay under the Chapter 13 plan, I'm finding that that's not relevant under the analysis of your motion for in rem stay relief.
Okay, then I have no further. Well, one question: when are your bankruptcy schedules? When's the deadline to file your bankruptcy schedules?
I think next week.
Do you know specifically when?
I don't. I'm not looking at it right now.
Are you going to timely file your bankruptcy schedules?
Yeah, I intend to.
I have no further questions.
All right, Mr. Bernstein, I don't know that any of that was relevant to the motion, but you can cross-examine yourself, if you will, by making a statement. But I would caution you not, if I've already determined it's relevant, there's no need to go down that road, but I will leave it to you to decide.
Do you want me to make a statement?
No, I don't want you to. It's up to you.
No, I don't. I'm fine. I don't want to cross-examine myself.
All right. Thank you.
I don't even know how to do that.
All right. Mr. Schreiberg, any other evidence you wish to present?
No, Your Honor. We rest.
Okay. So, Mr. Bernstein, it now moves to you to put on your case.
Okay.
With respect to Attorney Ramsey-Raley.
And there's a few things, Your Honor. Let me take it slow. In the last few minutes, I've even got more information that Robert Sweetapples agreed to be substituted in the state case by Morgan Weinstein, the new attorney for Patricia Somm Sr. And Inger Garcia can speak to this, and I can call her as a witness if necessary.
Okay, so let's assume that's true. Okay. What relevance does that have to your bankruptcy case?
Well, because we're trying to settle with the true and proper party of interest in this case, which we didn't even know who that was till recently, and that these people have been, Mr. Schreiberg's been representing somebody who's never spoken to him, who doesn't know.
How does granting Mr. Schreiberg's or Joanna Sam's or the creditor's motion for in rem stay relief prevent you from pursuing that settlement?
It doesn't. I was just informing you of that.
Okay, fair enough. I'm trying to relate it to the motion, which is what's before me, which is the motion for in rem stay relief. So I need to understand why it's relevant, so you're just giving me information.
Okay.
Thank you for that.
And now can I ask that Inger Garcia speak?
Sure.
Okay. Inger.
Good morning, Your Honor.
Questions for her or Ms. Garcia, are you making a presentation on behalf of Mr. Bernstein?
I'd like to proffer to the court in response to Mr. Schreiberg's comments so you understand what's going on properly and correctly in the state court.
One second, Mr. Schreiberg seems to have an objection. Mr. Schreiberg?
I have no objection if Ms. Garcia would like to enter an appearance on behalf of Mr. Bernstein, but if she has no standing to speak right now. She has no standing for anything.
Okay,
if Mr. Bernstein
is a witness. Is that
okay? All right, so I hear you, Mr. Schreiberg. So Mr. Bernstein, you are calling Ms. Garcia as a witness?
Correct.
Okay, for the purpose of informing the court information you deem relevant.
Totally.
What's happening in the state court matter?
Yes, thank you.
Okay, so I'll hear it and reserve on its relevance and standing, but I hear you. Okay, so Ms. Garcia, go ahead.
Your Honor, I came into the state court case after the final judgment.
Objection, Your Honor. Can she be sworn in?
Oh, of course. You're right. My apologies. Ms. Weldon, can you swear or affirm the witness?
Yes. Please raise your right hand. Do you solemnly swear or affirm to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth under penalty of perjury?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay. Go ahead, Ms. Garcia.
Okay, Your Honor, the state court case has a 1.530 pending, timely, and a 1.540 can be filed up until May 25th, 2023, which we do intend on filing.
What is that?
That's a motion to set aside the final judgment for fraud on the court.
Okay.
Because what's happening here, Your Honor, is that as Mr. Schreiber was talking about, you know, using the other bankruptcy case to have you make a ruling on this case, there's also going to be motions filed in that case because there was misrepresentations made to the court, and a lot of it does deal with standing. The estate is not a creditor to this judgment. The estate is not named in the judgment. It's a judgment in Walter Somm, who passed away's name. And I have in writing from the estate attorney, John Reynolds, who I spent 3 weeks basically negotiating with a settlement, who told me, no, you can't.
Objection, hearsay.
Yeah, I'm gonna, what's your response to that not being hearsay, Ms. Garcia? Actually, Mr. Bernstein needs to actually rule on or argue that. It sounds like hearsay to me.
We put in the emails between the estate attorney as exhibit in what I sent this morning. So you could just...
Okay, so there's still out-of-court statements offered to prove the truth of the matter asserted. So tell me how that's not hearsay, Ms. Garcia. I'll just let you argue on behalf of yourself, I suppose.
Yes, I'll rephrase it and say that I learned through conversations...
Objection, still hearsay. It's she's using the conversation for the truth of the matter asserted.
Mr. Schreiber, wait, that's fine. Assert your objection, I hear it. Let Ms. Garcia finish, because this is a bench trial, and just because I hear it doesn't mean I'm going to let it in, and it's going to affect the ruling. So, all right, Ms. Garcia, go ahead.
I personally learned through communications with counsel and filing an appearance in the probate case also, and in attempts to resolve the foreclosure matter, as well as release of funds in another case in front of Judge Laura Johnson, that the estate is not the owner of the, is not a creditor and is not the owner of this final judgment. It was in Mr.
So let me understand then. How is it then, let's say you're right. Let's say the state court, you're gonna file these motions in front of the state court and the state court's gonna adjudicate those motions, correct? Procedurally? Theoretically?
That's part of it, Your Honor, yes.
Okay, so how would it, if I grant the motion for MREM stay relief, how does that stop you or Mr. Bernstein or whoever's going to be filing those motions from doing so? Well, how is that relevant to the motion for MREM stay relief?
Okay, it's relevant because Mr. Schreiber's clients are not creditors and they're not the proper party. They're coming into this court and telling you that the estate owns this judgment and has a right to object, and it has no right to object. It's not a party to the judgment.
Okay. Well, would you agree with me that under Rooker-Feldman and Younger abstention and potentially additional abstention doctrines, as well as law of the case, that I am not in a position to reconsider rulings of the state court or Judge Kimball in the other bankruptcy case? Do you agree with that?
I do agree with that. And the point that I'm trying to make, Your Honor, is that the estate is sitting here in front of you today saying that we're a creditor, we have rights, and because of our rights, we want you to set aside this stay. But they're not the right party. They're misrepresenting it to you right here as we speak.
Okay, and if that's ultimately shown in some other court or in front of Judge Kimball or however, then, of course, Mr. Schreiber and his clients may suffer the consequence of that. But as it stands now, findings of fact indicate otherwise, and I am stuck with those findings of fact, am I not?
If the findings of fact are not applicable directly to Mr. Bernstein in this particular case, Your Honor, and the findings of fact, if you look at what he even moved in, Mr. Schreiber moved in today, that final judgment is not even in the estate's name. So it's clear in the record that this is not a proper creditor as to the first creditor.
When someone dies, what happens to their judgment? Does it not flow through to their estate and then from there to whoever the ultimate beneficiary is?
In this case, the estate clearly did not list it in the inventory. The estate attorney has represented in pleadings and otherwise, or has represented that it's not an estate.
And hearsay.
Well, it's not an estate asset. It's never traveled through the estate. The estate knows that it's not the creditor. And it took me weeks of wasting my time negotiating.
Who's the owner of the judgment? Who is the secured creditor?
Patricia
Somm Sr.
And according to Mr. Schreibergen testimony, he has said that it's by tenant's entirety passed to Patricia Schreiberg, but he's caught in the fact that the state court issued a final judgment on behalf of a dead person because they failed to inform the court for 2 years that Walter had died and that it had transferred
But you both agree that all of that could be dealt with and adjudicated by the state court, correct?
No, Your Honor, to a point of, I don't believe that there is standing right now, and I believe that there's representations being made to you this morning to set aside this day that are clearly, clearly not true, and it needs a proper hearing to be able for you to flush it out, get evidence to you, take depositions if needed. Because there's the second issue is that the second client that Mr. Schraberg was here for today, Pat Sr., has hired a lawyer because in the state court, they never told the state court that there was a power of attorney, and Joanna Somm, the daughter, was really the one hiring him. Just like here, Joanna Somm's here claiming she's here under a power of attorney, which I understand has now been revoked. There's a new counsel of record who would be here to represent Patricia Somm properly. Mr. Schraberg does not have the authority to represent Patricia Somm as we sit here today. He may not have known that till this morning, but he doesn't have the authority to represent her.
And why are they not here? Why are they not here?
Mr. Weinstein, I understand, was hired yesterday, and he's in another court proceeding. And I told him that this hearing was taking place now and that we would be asking for a reset so he could be here with his client to tell this court the truth about who the owner is and what their intentions really are.
All right. Anything else on that point?
On that point, no, Your Honor. My only point is that the final judgment is not final. Mr. Bernstein, according to the way the final judgment is written, does have potential financial liability as well as possession, because the final judgment, that's another reason why we have a concern with it, it doesn't say who the debtor, which debtor owes the money. It just says all defendants. So it's really got serious issues as far as its effectiveness and ability to move forward. But it does affect the client financially.
Okay, and Ms. Garcia, you are the person that filed the suggestion of bankruptcy. That's Exhibit D.
Oh, Your Honor, can I clarify that real quick? On the suggestion of bankruptcy you're reviewing, Mr. Schraberg, I would assume intentionally, left out the original suggestion of bankruptcy, which I filed individually, which is what led to, because I handed it to the clerk in that court, the stay. The one that Ms. Garcia filed, I think she just filed, you know, afterwards as kind of, you know, a secondary to make sure it got filed. But my filing is the one that stopped the stay, and I'm not sure why Mr. Schraberg left that out, because it was filed before, so you can ask.
All right, I understand. Okay. Ms. Garcia, you filed this suggestion of bankruptcy, that's Exhibit D in the state court foreclosure action?
I can't see the exhibit he has, but I'm going to assume that he presented to you what was filed.
Okay, and what was your basis to believe that Elliot Bernstein, you agree that Elliot Bernstein individually does not own the property, correct? The real property?
No, the property is owned by the now BFR, Bernstein Family Realty LLC, which has been properly reinstated. He is a member of that entity.
Okay. And what was the basis for you to inform the court that this action is founded on a claim from which a discharge would be a release of that seeks to impose a charge on the property of the estate, and that the sale set for tomorrow's date, April 4th, 2023, must be canceled due to this filing of the bankruptcy court, in the bankruptcy court? What is the basis for you to have said so in this suggestion?
I guess that's the standard objection, that suggestion that we file for the defendants in a state court case that have rights to the property. And pursuant to the judgment, he is potentially liable for the entire amount. And Judge Kastanakis.
Do you have any authority that Mr. Elliot Bernstein's bankruptcy case and the stay, the automatic stay occasioned by that bankruptcy case, would stay the foreclosure sale of property owned by Bernstein Family Realty LLC?
I don't have it with me today, Your Honor, but I'll research and provide whatever brief
and Your Honor,
that shows the authority that
we should be going off the one that stopped the sale, which was what I filed, and it doesn't have any of that language, as Mr.
I heard your previous argument, okay. And I understand.
Thank you.
Okay. All right. Anything else, Mr. Bernstein?
Yes.
Or Ms. Garcia?
Yes,
let me just confirm, Ms. Garcia, in making your statements and testifying before the court, are you representing Mr. Bernstein in this case?
Your Honor, I am considering coming on for Mr. Bernstein. I just couldn't come on for today.
Testifying on behalf of them? Or arguing on behalf of?
I testified today on behalf of Mr. Bernstein, and I will come on as his counsel, potentially. Okay.
All right, thank you. Okay. Mr. Bernstein, anything else?
Yes, I'd like to call my next witness, Bradley Schraber.
Okay. I'm not sure that this is appropriate, but you can call him.
He called me. Isn't that the same thing?
It's not, because he's representing a party. He's not the party himself. But it's fine. I'll give you some leeway. Ms. Thank Weldon, you. Can you swear or affirm Mr. Schraber?
Yes. Please raise your right hand. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the truth, to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth under penalty of perjury?
I do.
Okay, Mr.
Was that your electronic hand that you raised?
Mr. Yeah, Schraber? It's funny. I was wondering what was happening.
All right, go ahead, Mr. Bernstein.
Okay, Mr. Schraber, have you filed the power of attorney you're acting under on behalf of Patricia Sr.?
No, and I object to what I'll answer.
Have
no.
You filed it anywhere?
I don't remember if it was filed in the last case. The retainer letter certainly was.
Are the documents?
What Patricia are we talking about? We're senior. Talking about the mother, the senior, okay.
The one who's allegedly has the interest in the property.
Who would have been tenants by the entireties in the property,
correct.
Arguably, and the owner, according to your assertions?
Yes, sir. According to Mr. Schraber and Judge Kimball's assertions in the record.
Okay. All right. Understood.
Okay.
Go ahead.
And then have you ever spoken to Patricia Somm, Sr.?
First of all, I'm objected to. My client can answer and can answer these questions. A rule is very simple. If you take a deposition or the testimony of an attorney as a last resort, if there is any, get the information.
Your objection is sustained. Go ahead, Mr. Bernstein. Any other questions?
Hold on one second. Have any of the documents you filed with the court been signed as a power of attorney from Joanna Somm so that everybody was clear that there was a power of attorney invoked and that you weren't just forging somebody who you may have never met's signature?
I'm going to disallow that question. Anything else, Mr. Bernstein? To the extent that,
yes,
Ms. Garcia, are you texting Mr. Bernstein?
No.
You're on mute.
I apologize, Your Honor. I have a state court hearing. I'm texting my client.
Okay. All right, go ahead, Mr. Bernstein. Anything else?
Yes. Mr. Schraber, I know that Inger Garcia requested multiple times to you for the power of attorney. Have you sent it to her yet over the last year that she's requested it?
Same objection, and assumes facts not in evidence.
Sustained. Anything else, Mr. Bernstein? And what I'm trying to do is understand if you have questions that are relevant other than standing, which you will be arguing, you've already argued, to the motion for in rem stay relief.
Okay, and can I ask, who owns the note?
That's, again, asking Mr. Schraber for facts, and he is not He is not the determiner of those facts or the person with the best evidence of those facts. He's simply counsel. So that same principle applies, and I'm disallowing that question as well.
Okay. Well, then, that's all I had.
Okay. All right. Mr. Schreiberg, anything else on your end?
Oh, Your Honor, I have one more question for Kim.
Okay.
Are you aware of any conflicts with me, Elliot Bernstein, and my companies? I view it.
Same objection.
Objection sustained. Conflicts of Mr. Schreiberg can be raised in some other context, but okay. I don't see how it's perfect. So the motion for interim stay relief.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Mr. Schreiberg, I'm not asking you for anything. I'm just giving you an opportunity to the extent you feel you need to raise any other, respond to any of this, reply to any of this.
The only thing that I would have with regard to Ms. Garcia's testimony is if I could cross, and I'll be the first. The main purpose is I would like to know what did she help Mr. Bernstein with regard to this filing in any way?
No. All right. I'm also going to disallow that as being not relevant to the analysis under motion for interim stay relief. I acknowledge I should have given you an opportunity to cross-examined Ms. Garcia. I frankly forgot, but at any rate, that if that's your only line of questioning, that was it's not relevant to the proceeding. Anything else?
Nothing further, Your Honor.
Okay, so the court is granting the motion for interim stay relief. The court is adopting the findings that the property at issue is owned by the Bernstein. I'm sorry, let me just get to the name of it. I'm sorry, hold on one second.
Bernstein Family Realty, LLC.
Thank you. It's owned by Bernstein Family Realty, LLC. Further finding that the therefore, the bankruptcy filed by Elliot Bernstein does not invoke the automatic stay in any event with respect to the foreclosure sale of the property owned by now this non-debtor, Bernstein Family Realty, LLC. I'm finding that the suggestion of bankruptcy filed that resulted in the cancellation of the sale was false from a factual as well as legal perspective, and was designed to mislead the clerk's office and or the state court in canceling that sale. It also makes it clear, in addition to Mr. Bernstein's admission that he filed his own suggestion of bankruptcy, that the purpose of the Elliot Bernstein bankruptcy, this case, was not to reorganize, was not to file schedules, was not to file a plan of a Chapter 13 plan that can be confirmed, but was, again, for the sole purpose of canceling the foreclosure sale as a continued scheme in bad faith in filing the bankruptcy case. As I understand it, and I will get to that in a moment, section 362D4 states that on request of a party in interest and after notice and a hearing, the court shall grant relief from stay provided under subsection A of this section, which is by terminating, annulling, modifying, or conditioning such stay with respect to a stay of an act against real property under subsection A by a creditor whose claim is secured by an interest in such real property, if the court finds that the filing of the petition was part of a scheme to delay, hinder, or defraud creditors that involved either transfer of all or part ownership of or other interest in such real property without the consent of the secured creditor or court approval. That does not apply. Or B, multiple bankruptcy filings affecting such real property. Further, that section states that if recorded in compliance with applicable state laws governing notices of interest or liens in real property, an order entered under subparagraph 4 shall be binding in any other case under this title, purporting to affect such real property filed not later than 2 years after the date of the entry of such order by the court, except that a debtor in a subsequent case under this title may move for relief from such order based upon changed circumstances or for good cause shown after notice and hearing. Any federal, state, or local governmental unit that accepts notices of interest or liens in real property shall accept any certified copy of an order described in this subsection for indexing and recording. The court finds that the bankruptcy case filed by Elliot Bernstein is part of a multiple bankruptcy filings affecting the real property that's at issue, and was intended and part of a scheme to delay, hinder, or defraud the judgment creditor. So for those reasons, the court grants the motion, and Mr. Schraberg, I look forward to receiving an order from you. And as I have told most folks that file such motions, the order should include the language of the statute specifically, and can reference the, for the reasons stated on the record. All right.
Your Honor.
Thank you.
Can I put on the record, A, can you take judicial notice to my papers that were filed today?
I already have. If you're referring to the, let me just see the docket entry. Hold on a second. If you are referring to, hold on. I'm sorry. Give me a second. My computer is getting slow, like I am. Hold on. Okay, so if you are referring to docket entry 20, which is your emergency submittal under local rule 5005-1F2, I have reviewed that and have considered that in making my ruling today.
Okay.
That's what you're asking.
Okay, and I don't know, but I'd like to object to the findings because I think this is an improper hearing. I don't know who the party in interest is, what their standing is, and I'm objecting.
All right. Objection noted.
And one last question. How is the case transferred from Judge Mora?
I honestly don't know how these things happen, but it ended up with me, so. All right. I think she recused herself. If I'm not mistaken, I believe Judge Mora recused for some reason. I don't know why.
Oh, that wasn't Judge Kimball.
I think Judge Kimball did as well. I think that's evident in the. There are various different docket entries that you can refer to that discuss the recusal of those other judges.
Okay, can you make a finding of who the party in interest is and what standing they have?
I don't think I need to make that finding, except that because it's already been found, but I would adopt the finding that the movant in the expedited motion the motion for interim stay relief at docket entry 15 is the movant stated in that motion. And that they have standing to do so based on the facts that have previously been found. All right, anything else?
Nope, that's it. Thank you for your time.
Okay, thank you all, and Mr. Schraberg, anything from you?
Mr. Bernstein. Should we upload an order denying as moot the emergency motion for stay relief?
Sure, that would be helpful, thank you.
Okay.
You're waiving, and the waiver of the 14 days is also granted.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Okay, Mr. Bernstein?
Yeah, I was asking if you could make a finding of who's the party in interest, the estate or Patricia Sam Sr.?
I am making the finding that the movement in the motion itself, docket entry 15, has standing. So
Which one?
The judgment creditor in the state court of the state court judgment. And that's stated here as Joanna Sam as personal representative of the estate of Walter Sam and Patricia Sam buying through their undersigned counsel, Mr. Schraper. So I'm finding that that is that person, Joanna Sam as personal representative of the state of Walter Sam and Patricia Sam are together the secured creditors and that they have standing to proceed in this case and file that motion. Okay?
Yes, thank you.
All right. Okay, and listen, if that's, I'm not here to rule on those other issues, so.
We'll get there.
So you'll proceed as you deem appropriate. Okay, thank you all.
Appreciate it, thank you for your time.
Have a good day.
You too.
Your Honor, I'm sorry to speak out of turn, but my hearing was set for 3. Am I to stay on